My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. Bienvenue to what is for us a new venue. We're at St. John's Smith Square, within hailing distance of the Mother of Parliaments. I am Speaker of this House, so it's my duty to call four front bench spokesmen: John Amison, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. And our teller, scorer, Mary Bell. There's something ever so slightly deceptive about some of the music in this opening round, so be warned. John, thoughtful orchestral music scored by a master of orchestration, but who was the composer?
I think it's that composer that Frank will undoubtedly call El Gar, the Spanish station.
Yes, that's right, you spotted him. Rather Debussy-esque, I thought, in sound, that particular chunk.
Yes, he has a strain like that, though, yes. Doesn't he? He often writes
that sort of old tonish. It was El Gar, it was from his second symphony.
I heard a chap on the wireless today, the music channel, saying that it should be pronounced Elgar.
Elgar?
Yeah, it was the announcer, and did anybody else hear that? And apparently there's an old gentleman who was a friend of Elgar, the Spanish railway station, who said that he pronounced it Elgar.
Well, yes.
He had a very strong West Country accent. Yes. There's a bit of film of him saying to the orchestra, just as they're about to play Pomp and Circumstance, "Gentlemen, I'd like you to play this as though you've never heard this tune before."
Yeah. Yes, that's right. A good Worcester dialect, yes.
Is it?
In Elgar's case, yes. Not in your case, in Elgar's case.
No.
It was indeed Elgar from the Second Symphony. Frank, a familiar voice serenading Cecilia.
Does your mother know you're out, Cecilia? Does she know that I'm about to steal ya?
Now, you know the singer, of course. You know the singer, don't you?
Very well.
Yes. You do. It was Max Bygraves. But, Frank, that line, "Does your mother know you're out?" How old would you guess that question is? It's sort of a catchphrase, isn't it?
It's very, very old, in fact. It's one of those... I remember it when I was young, but it goes... it goes back... It's one of the really sort of basic early... I would say early 19th century.
Very good. According to Eric Partridge, it goes back at least to 1840.
Yeah.
The catchphrase, "Does your mother know you're out?"
Hmm.
Ian, perhaps not quite the singer you'd expect for this song... Frank grasps the water carafe on his desk.
She would have been a very expensive addition to the cast of the play in which that
indeed.
Song
I was going to ask you,
sung.
Can you manage the singer's name and the name of the original show?
Yes, I can, because that comes from an absolutely amazing Noel Coward album that Joan Sutherland made years ago, where she does all manner of things to the songs that nobody else could do.
Including a top C-sharp.
Yes. That comes from Conversation Piece.
Yes, 1934 with Yvonne Printemps, in the first case, yes. Dennis, again, slightly deceptive, who are they?
I'd like to see things as they were when everybody then preferred to have a smile upon their face. Like to see a world so grand with people walking hand in hand, a happy human race.
Well, it's such a Flanagan and Allen sound that it's either got to be Flanagan and Allen or their troops of imitators. Yeah. It's not Flanagan and Allen, so that narrows it down to Roy Hudd and Christopher Timothy or Bernie Winters and Leslie Crowther.
Yeah, it's Bernie Winters and Leslie Crowther, yes, doing a Flanagan and Allen, yeah. Gold discs are awarded by record companies to two kinds of artists, those who have sold a million copies of a record and those whom the companies would like us to think have sold a million copies of a record. John, the first classical LP to sell a million was the popular Tchaikovsky piano concerto conducted by Kondrashin and with the solo part played by whom?
Are you going to play the record?
No.
No. Oh, well, then I think it's Van Cliburn.
Yes,
The American who won the Tchaikovsky Prize in Moscow.
Yes, the same year as the record, 1958, that's right.
And hasn't really been heard of for the last 10 or 15 years.
Hmm. Odd, isn't it?
He's sort of practically given up, which is rather a shame.
Yes, very much a young man. He was born in 1930-something.
Yep. Yeah.
Frank, million sellers again. Trevor H. Stanford, DSM, alias...
Russ Conway.
Yes, indeed.
A percussive pianist.
Yes, a million seller with side saddle, that's right. Ian, who won a gold disc with Diane? D-I-A-N-E.
The Bachelors.
We are doing well, yes. The Bachelors in 1964, that's right. And Dennis, whose million seller was Diana with an A?
Diana was Paul Anka.
Yeah. Do you know, he was 14 years old when he wrote that song, made that record. One of the most refreshing instrumental sounds, I think, is the sound of the recorder when it's well played. And the recorder is well played by the members of the Dolmetsch Consort. John, you're going to hear a bit of the Frog Galliard by a composer who was a favourite of Queen Elizabeth, a pupil of Byrd, and quite probably a chum of William Shakespeare. His name, sir.
I thought that was Dowland, the Frog Galliard.
No, this, not this one, anyway.
Not this one.
1557 to 1602.
Tompkins, Schmompkins, Wilby, Morley.
Morley, you got it first time.
Thank you.
Would you like him to have the mark for that?
Yes.
Thomas Morley it was.
I used to have arguments with a marvellous recorder man called Walter Bergman. And I said, well, the reason I don't like it is because it always sounds out of tune. He said, no, you are wrong. You are wrong. So the recorder is so much in tune that you think it's out of tune.
Frank, come to your question. I'm quoting from the sleeve note of this LP. Monsieur Otterter was noted for his famous treatise on playing the one-keyed flute. You have 20 seconds of music coming up, after which I'd like to know rather more than I do, please, about the one-keyed flute. The one-keyed flute, Frank.
Well, there's one-key flute, which has got a it's got the hole in the end. One-key flute means either a flute with a key halfway down it, one, or one plays only in one key.
Mm.
And both of them are very dull.
Yes, as you can tell.
They wouldn't pursue it further.
Right. I'm in
general. I'm not really interested in the one.
We'll try Ian. Ian, this Handel duo in F major, so the record sleeve informs me, was discovered by Dart. Sounds rather a chancy business. After 17 seconds of music, can you enlighten us, please? discovered by Dart, Ian?
It's rather interesting, isn't it? Because darts is a very popular game. And when I was young, one of the great popular games was billiards. And one used to hear on the news sometimes the latest score from Thurston's. Yes. And this, well, I think, is Thurston Dart, combination of the two, who was a harpsichordist. I remember him as playing the harpsichord and being a very handsome man and a great musical authority. A
wonderful experience for him. He discovered this Handel duo in the Fitzwilliam Museum. And it's because of him, we know it now. Thurston Dart. Dennis, here's a delightful 27 seconds worth of quirky music composed by a man who gave you and the rest of us much musical amusement in the 1940s. The piece is called simply Adieu. Dennis, that was by Gordon Jacob. What was it he did that so brightened the 1940s?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I met Gordon Jacob at the office of Ted Kavanagh once.
That's right.
He was an arranger for the BBC, what they used to call Light Entertainment then. He used to do a lot of the arrangements for... Oh, you know, Charlie Shadwell's orchestra and all the BBC light orchestras of that time.
And particularly, of course, the folk song arrangements in Itmar.
Oh, yes, that's
were
right.
Very much his work, among others. That's right, Gordon Jacob. A critic wrote not long ago, "The art of telling a story succinctly is almost a lost art." Well, we'll see if it is. To give an example, may I quote to you from a concert programme of 1921... For the benefit of listeners who are not familiar with the story of Wagner's Lohengrin, it may be stated that, after sundry vicissitudes, the hero and heroine succeed in getting married. You see? Simple. Let's have some other opera plots rendered as tersely as that. John, in a few seconds, give us the story of Albert Herring.
Albert Herring is an English version of a story by Maupassant about the Queen of the May. But it's by Benjamin Britten, and the Queen of the May became the King of the May.
Yes.
And he's given 25 quid and goes off and gets drunk.
That's right.
So Maupassant became Bien Puissant.
Yes.
Am I my brother's keeper?
And I remember Fernandel, don't you, in the French film Loisier. Frank, in a few
Christmas... Madame Butterfly?
No, actually, no. What I would like, please, is a story of Gounod's or anybody else's Faust.
Oh. Faust demonstrates that it is possible to retain your youth and love, but later there's the devil to pay.
Yes. A friend of mine saw a performance of in France of Faust, and if you've seen it, you know Mephisto comes up on his trap door. And his first words are, "Me voici, et pourquoi la surprise?" Well, this particular Mephisto was dressed just in black tights from the waist downwards, and he caught them on a nail as he went up.
Where was I? Oh, yes. These plots... Ian, a slight change of gear. You've seen this. Can you summarise it, please? Wagner's Die Meistersinger.
Oh, young knight wins Nuremberg talent contest with the help of friendly old cobbler.
Yes, load of...
Best part of the prize, goldsmith's daughter.
Yeah, well done, yes, that's right. Won the Eurovision Song Contest, you did, yeah. Dennis, give us the gist of Hansel and Gretel.
Well, the opera?
Yes. Or any other?
Hansel and Gretel. It hasn't been.
The other bit that I, the other version.
Yes, that'll do.
Disadvantaged children fail to cope with housing problems.
How true. Thanks to the Brothers Grimm, the original story. Going to play on record bits of some show songs. The question, please, is which show? John, you're not exactly the film buff of the year, but I think you'll know which film this came from.
Raindrops keep falling on my head, just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed. Nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head. They keep falling.
Lovely song, isn't it? Lovely song.
Butch Cassidy.
Yes, and
The Sundance Kid.
Yes, Butch Cassidy and The Sundance Kid, yes, 1969. Frank, another good film from the same year.
Everybody's talking at me, I don't hear a word they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. People stop and stare at me, I can't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes.
Another good song, Midnight Cowboy.
Yes, was the film, that's right. Ian, a stage musical, then a film musical. The film date was 1972, but the story came from about 400 years earlier.
To reach the unreachable star.
That's what's known as a big finish.
Yes.
Man of La Mancha.
Man of La Mancha, yes. Dennis, your turn to hear a show tune.
Maybe I should have saved those leftover dreams. Funny, but here's that rainy day.
Dennis, I know it's Here's That Rainy Day from Carnival in Flanders, but whose voice is it we've been hearing for the last few minutes?
Well, it's funny because I twigged it about three songs back, and I was, wait, and it's extraordinary. When you know the name, then you go, because you don't think of him as a good singer. I do think he's a good singer, except when he sings, Dream the Impossible Dream, which I don't think anybody should think. Des O'Connor.
Was the singer of Raindrops, Everybody's Talking, Impossible Dream, Rainy Day, and so on. Lines from songs now. Which songs is the question? John. All at Once Am I. What is that from?
All at Once Am I.
Stories High.
Yes, Frank's got it. You can tell him, Frank. On the street where you live, it comes from. Your side got it. Frank, when your professor cries... Sad little line. When your professor cries.
It's the musical of Quiet Flows the Don. I don't actually recollect this line.
Well, it's when your professor cries, everybody...
Everyone... Varsity drag.
We'll give him that.
Brings it all back.
Ian, the principal ingredient... from a song.
Oh, if I'd known you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
That's a nice thought.
And your heart will be obedient.
Yes. With intoxicating kisses
for the principal and some secluded rendezvous.
It's cocktails for two.
Yeah. Cocktails
for
two, yes.
That's right.
Well, Dennis, your little excerpt, Dennis, is a barrel of dynamite.
A barrel of dynamite. Yes, you thought that love was a barrel down all night. Goody, goody.
That's right. Goody, goody. Just before we move on, a simple question calling for a simple answer simultaneously from Frank and Dennis. Why must it be jelly?
Because jam don't shake like that.
Why must it be what?
Pay attention at the
Why
back.
Must it be... For a moment, I thought the idea was, after you said it was a barrel of dynamite, why must it be jelly? I thought it was, why must it be jelly?
That may be what made me think of it, I don't know. Anyway, you've got another little half mark bonus then. You're doing well this week. And so to four songs about love. That narrows it down a bit. Frank first with Imagination.
Imagination, gosh, it's funny. It makes a cloudy day sunny. Makes a bee think of honey, just as I think of you. Imagination, it's crazy. Makes your perspective grow hazy. Starts you asking a daisy what to do, what to do. Have you ever felt a gentle touch, and then a kiss, and then, find it's only your imagination again? Oh well. Imagination is silly. You walk around willy-nilly. For example, I go around wanting you, and yet I can't imagine that you want me to.
And John sings about the brisk young widow.
Yes, just a few verses out of the 97. In Chester town there lived a brisk young widow. For beauty and fine clothes none could excel her. She was proper stout and tall, her fingers long and small. She's a comely dame withal, she's a brisk young widow. She's courted by a farmer, but she says no. Says she, I'm not for you, nor no such fellow. I'm for a lively lad with lands and riches. 'Tis not your hogs and ewes can maintain furbelows. My silken satin clothes are all my glory. Oh, madam, don't be coy for all your glory. For fear of another day and another story. If the world on you should frown, your topknot must come down to a linsey-woolsey gown. Where's then your glory?
It's just one of those songs you keep waiting for it to get dirty, don't you?
Any student of old popular songs will recognise the names of Michael Carr and Eddie Poehler, who got together in 1936 to write this song, which is now for Dennis.
"'Twas in a candy store, I got my big surprise, for I bumped right into the cheeky grin of the girl with the dreamy eyes. She sold me caramels, I ask you, was I wise? 'Cause I bought a few just to say how do to the girl with the dreamy eyes. I didn't know if she could sew or if she knew how to cook. I only knew what my heart went through when she gave me that glad to meet you look. Now at the baby show, my son takes every prize. You know who his pretty mother is, the girl with the dreamy eyes."
A centenary that passed almost unnoticed in 1983 was the 100th anniversary of the birth of Herman Daruski. Lovely songs he wrote. "I Used to Sigh for the Silvery Moon," "Sister Susie," "In the Twilight," "Katie." He composed all those. And this, which has a family connection, I think, Ian, for you.
Yes, it does, Steve. My Auntie Peggy, when I was... the year I was born, she came out of the Royal College of Music, and unfortunately, instead of being a lyric soprano, she had this terrible talent for mimicry, and she did an act. Unfortunately, she imitated people like John McCormack and Harry Lauder, but also in the act, and if she'd stuck to this, she'd have been all right. As it was, she got laryngitis and had to give up. She sang this song like Alice Delicia. I'll just try and sing it like me. "If you could care
for me. As I could care for you, oh, what a place this world would be, a paradise for two, with no one there to see how we would bill and coo. If you could only care for me as I could care for you.
Turns to Mary for the score. Aha, the victory for two of my four favourite people. Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.